أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أما بعد Yesterday, alhamdulillah, we had a very lively discussion, a very impactful discussion on the author of a very, very prestigious book, The Masterpiece. And normally when I meet any of you, one of the questions I always ask is, what's new? What's going on in your life? And rather than just give me the one sentence, nothing, everything is the same old Imam Sahib, now you'll actually know that you have the equivalent of at least 300-400 pages of that particular day to actually account for. And we are the authors of our own books, Iqra' Kitabak. And we need to make sure that the content and the hero, the individual that is within that book, is the best reflection of the Qur'an and Sunnah and of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And so may Allah azza wa jalla enable us all to truly fill our book of deeds, fill our book with the greatest of deeds, insha'Allah al-Azeez. Tonight, insha'Allah, we'll also have a very good discussion as well. And hopefully this will again get your brains turning and thinking a bit more. First question that I'd like to ask you of this night is, do you live for free in this country? Who thinks we live for free in this country? I don't think anybody thinks that. Neither do we live for free in this city, and neither do we live for free in our homes. You may think that you're living for free because, alhamdulillah, you have parents or you have grandparents, but there's no such thing as living for free in this country or in this city, or rather town of Ashton, Underlain Sharif, or your own very homes. Coming into the UK is a very, very expensive thing. Ask the people who are crossing the channel in boats. Ask those people who are hiding in aeroplanes and cargo ships, etc., trying to get into this particular country. 15, 20, 30,000 pounds, their entire life savings go just to get into this country, whether legally or even illegally. Traveling here is a very, very expensive thing. Getting your visa is a very expensive process, and then applying for spousal extension upon extension until they eventually get their indefinite stay, and their passport is also a very, very expensive affair. And then living here in this country, there's no such thing as a free meal. You're paying for every single thing that you can think of. HMRC, for those who are the accountants, etc., they know they will squeeze you for every single penny. Even though Gary Lineker can get away with £4.9 million in taxes, we can't. They will take you to account for every single penny that you have. So even living in this town, you can't live for free. Unless you're homeless, even then, you can't still get away with so many things. You have to pay your council tax. You have a car, you have to pay your road tax. And sooner or later, you'll be paying a bicycle tax as well, believe it or not. And then there is a congestion charge, there is a ULEZ in London, and shortly will come here as well. You're paying for every single thing that you can consider. Every commodity, everything, whether it is gas, whether it is electric, your food, your car, your house, and even your phone and the clothes that you buy, everything, it has to be paid for. You either purchase it, or you put it on finance, and finance is a very, very slippery road. Many non-Muslims, majority of their life, their sofas, their TVs, their carpets, their cars, and many other things are all on finance, which is money that they don't actually have, they don't actually truly earn, but they're still buying this on finance. So nothing is actually truly free in this world. Have we established that first very fact? Absolutely, categorically free. You're not here for free. Nobody's here. Everybody is here working for their thing. And similarly, when you want to hire a car, you have to hire the car, you have to pay per hour, you have to pay per day. And nowadays you have those scooters scattered around as well. Even if you want them, they're not for free. You know, you have to even pay for all of those things. And one of the, I think, most detested things by the millennials is paying for Wi-Fi. They're always looking for free Wi-Fi. Nobody wants to pay for Wi-Fi, especially at the airport. So we establish in this very, at the beginning, that everything in and around us has to be purchased, has to be hired, has to be rented, etc. Nothing is owned by you. You don't have an inalienable right, a default right to access this country or its resources or any of the other things. You have to earn it, you have to pay for it, or you have to finance it in a particular way or form. So now I come on to the next question. If you do not own anything and you have to earn everything and you have to pay for every single thing if you want it in your lifetime, then why is it that every single one of us assumes that we own our own body? Think about this question. Why do you assume that you own your body and there are no payments whatsoever due on your body? Who owns your body? Who created your body? Who made your body? Who allows your body to function in every single way? Nobody just says, oh, there's a car and take it. No. You have to become the owner of every single part in order for you to take that car away. For mortgage, for a house, for every single brick, you have to own it in order for you to dwell and live in that. So this body that we have, all of our limbs and everything else, why do we assume that this is just for free? Why do you assume that the air that we are breathing is just for free? Why do you assume that the soul that you have is just for free? Why do you assume that the heartbeat that you have is just for free? Who is paying for this body? You can go anywhere in the world, nobody will give you anything for free. You'll get a smile, you'll be very, very lucky. But nobody gives nothing for free, there's always something attached. So this body as well doesn't come for free. We are not the outright owners of this particular body. We're actually hiring this body. We're paying for this body. We've got this on a short-term lease, whether that is 60 years or 80 years or 90 years, or you could call it a lifetime. We are also using this body and we have to pay for the use of this body, just the way that you pay for anything else. And when you damage a car, what do you have to pay? You have to pay the excess. You trash the car and you have to pay the consequences, etc. This body is an amana, it is a trust given to you. It's on hire, short term or long term. You can use it, but you cannot abuse it. And you have to return it the way that you received it, or to the closest condition that you received it, back to its rightful and original owner. So use but not abuse. So we don't own ourselves outright. So the question then comes, then when did we get this assumption that we own ourselves? And if you do believe that you own yourself and your body, okay, fine. If you own a car and the police stop you, they'll say what? Show me your tax, show me your driving license, show me your insurance papers in order for us to prove that you are legally permitted and allowed to drive this car. So where is your receipt for your body? Does anybody have one? I don't have one. Does anybody have like a tappa or a sticker, one of those labels that you find on your clothes that washing delicate clothes or put conditioner and stuff like that, and this has been purchased? Or we can all go to Pakistan and get jali kagaz made and say, oh yes, we are the owner of so many things. But when did we actually purchase this very body that we are using and mostly we are abusing? When did we start making any of those payments to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The payment of the eye or the eyes. The payment of the use of the heart, the payment of the hands, the payment of the feet, the payment of your brain that enables you to function, your spine, your kidneys, your liver, your stomach, your blood. All of these things, they're not for free. And if you want to put a price on it, then believe me, in this day and age, you can put a price on every single one of these organs. Go to America, not on the black market, but just go to America now, and a heart will cost you upwards to $1 million. A heart, a healthy, functional heart transplant will cost you up to $1 million, if not more. A liver, a functional liver, if you want to purchase one or replace one, will cost you $557,000. A kidney will cost you $262,000. Your skin will cost you $10 per inch to graft upon you, and you've got 22 square feet or feet of skin all over your body. And then if you look about the chemicals that are going and running around you, in your body, the blood, the red blood, the white blood cells, and the hormones and everything else that is running within you, your blood, your eggs, your sperm, your womb, every single thing has a price. But then why is it that we never actually pay the price for all of these things that we are using on a daily basis and we have no regard for it whatsoever? When did we rent this? When did we finance our body? When did we make this agreement with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And believe me, we have made this agreement with Allah azza wa jal. His body hasn't been given to us for free, and there you go, use it and abuse and do whatever you want. There are very, very clear and strict terms and conditions on the use of this body, this amana that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And for Sari Accountant Sahib Tibet, and I'm sure we have another one here, somewhere here as well. Yes. So let me just give you a general figure, perhaps, in your mind. £360. When you hire a Ferrari or a car, or maybe Said's car, it might be a lot more expensive. Other cars, at least for a day, you're looking at least £300-£400 just for a day. Petrol, apna, insurance, apni, and everything else, wear and tear as well. So you're looking at upwards at least £300-£400 just for joyriding in a car for a day. And don't even get started on the amount of money that we waste on weddings. Car upon car upon car, israf upon israf, and waste upon waste. That's another story in itself. But let's just give a general figure of £360 per day of hiring a car, or let's say hiring your body, your jism. Let's time that by 365, because Saal, in a year you have how many days? 365. So I've cheated because I've got the answer here, but let's figure it out without using your calculators. So you got £360 times 365 days, which is just 1 year of hiring and using your body, this gift, this amana, this fully functional being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. It doesn't have all of the other hiccups of softwares and glitches and hardwares and other issues that engineers have made this perfected body. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ, and various other verses of the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the perfection of insan and how He has created you in the best forms and fashion. So you have at least £131,400 worth of rent that we have to give to whom? To none other than the owner of this body. The true owner, the Malik, the sovereign, the owner of this body is none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for using this and for hiring this body. £131,400 per year. So up until the age of 13, 14, for all of you youngsters here, the boys, and your body is free. Allah saying, go for a joyride, no problem, test it out, enjoy it. But when you reach the age of puberty, now you enter into a contract with Allah Azza wa Jal that you will give me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, £131,400 every single year. So from the time that you were 13 or 14 till now, which is at least 20 years, 30 years, maybe more for the ones who are older than us, how much money do you think we owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you think the HMRC or any other loan shark or any other person would let you go? Tiga, jardio, jardio. Nobody lets you go with that amount of money. You owe them even £100, they will come knocking on your door. They will send the bailiffs. They will come and forcefully enter into your home and change your meters. And they will do so much just to get £100 back off of you, let alone £131,400. But here we are in this delusion of a world that we live in, thinking that we don't owe anything back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great gift, this engineering, this biological, this spiritual gift of a body that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So I come to the hadith now, which is where I've taken this £360 for every single one of us. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions that every single morning we wake up. Every day when you wake up, you're coming into this contract, this agreement with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that here you are, I've given you a body, you can use it for this one day, but what do you owe? You owe something. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that every morning when Bani Adam, when we wake up, there is a joint, there is a charity, there is a fee. Translate charity as a fee. There is a fee, there is a due upon every single joint in your body. Now imagine this 1400-1500 years ago, when there was no Sheikh Google, there was no none of these biological medical books and all of these other things. It was just the Bedouins, just the Arabs, nothing else, very simple life. But the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, because he is a prophet of Allah azza wa jal, to show the prophecy in the nabuwa and the ilm al-ghayb of the Prophet alayhi wa sallam given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that you owe 360 joints, You have 360 joints in your body. And this is how much charity and how much fee you owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you just Google right now how many joints are there in the body, and you'll find that there's exactly 360 joints in the human body. 360 joints. But 1400 years ago, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam shared that every morning when you wake up, there you have to give this due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of your joints in your body. So ask yourself, have you paid that fee? Have you paid that charity? Have you paid that rent? What happens when you fall short on your mortgage? What happens? They come and they repossess your property, even though you may have used it and given so much. What happens when you fall back on your finance? They come and they repossess everything. So how can we pay this charity which is due, this fee that is due on the body, which is 360 deeds minimum that we have to do in order for us to be worthy of this particular body, in order for us to utilize this body? Otherwise we're going to be in deficit. We're going to be in the red, and these dues are going to accumulate and accumulate. So 360 deeds are due upon every single one of us from the age of puberty onwards. So do you pray 360 salahs in a day? Because that's one way of giving your due back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you give £360 in sadaqah every single day? If you're not, then you're not giving your due of every single joint in your body. Do you do at least 360 deeds, good deeds in a day? Most likely you probably do 5 or 10. Marmar ki badi mushkil nahi, just about maybe do 5 or 10 or 15 or 20. If you're advantageous, maybe 100. You certainly won't do 360 good deeds every single day. Do you forbid evil 360 times in a day? We tell khair dandil, what's it got to do with me? He can do whatever he wants. This is the minimum repayment that we have to give for this body. 360 salahs, or sadaqat, or good deeds, or forbidding evil, all of this to use this body given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not a small order, it's a very, very tall order. Now if you reflect upon your life, we owe millions and millions and millions of pounds and deeds and salah and so much to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where are you going to find that? How are you going to repay that? What kind of agreement, repayment are you going to give with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You won't be able to repay and you'll be in your grave, and then that's it, everything cuts off. But the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, as generous, as kind as he was, he would always give his ummah a way out, a way of ease, and say, do this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your repayment, and it will be wiped away from you. And this is a very simple thing that I want you to reflect upon today. And I want you to start doing this in your daily life, because it's not difficult whatsoever to do. So the human being has 360 joints in the body, and therefore we owe at least 360 things back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam simply said, if you pray 2 rak'at, how many? 2 rak'at. Just 2 rak'at of duha. When is duha? Duha is 20 minutes after sunrise in the morning. 20 minutes after sunrise, so you pray Fajr in the morning, which is obligatory upon you. Okay? And then you wait at least 20 minutes for the sun to rise. After the sun has risen, then this is the time of Duha. People also call it Ishraq, they're synonymous. They're both the same. So between 20 minutes after sunrise up until 20 minutes before Zuhr, look at the gap that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So you're looking at least, what time is sunrise now? About 6:50, almost, yes? It's not there, but it's about 6:50, yes? So let's say at 7:10, you can pray your duha. And Zuhr is not till about 1:15. So from 7 o'clock in the morning till almost 1 o'clock midday, you have all of these hours just to pray how many rak'at? Just to pray 2 rak'at, and your credit will be clear. You can use this body to how much you want, maximize it, everything you want, and everything you do will be a bonus upon you, and you will not be going in your deficit. Just by praying 2 rak'at of duha, then the charity that is due, the fee that is due upon every single joint in your body will be paid off by praying that. Subhanallah, look at how easy our deen has been made for us by the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So please, brothers and sisters, you know, make this into a ma'mool, make it into a habit. make this into a sunnah that you do on a regular basis, because you will be asked about this, that I gave you this body, I gave you these names, I gave you every single thing, and you owed me this and this and this. How did you pay me back? And at least you can say, Ya Allah, I followed the sunnah of your Prophet, and every day I prayed 2 rak'ahs of duha, and I paid back what I could. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept that. Look at the beautiful and most easy way of paying back. Could you pay back? Imagine going to the bank and saying, I'll sit down and read 2 rak'at for you. Can you maaf karna my mortgage? They say, there. And I'll tell you what a maaf karna is. Imagine going to anybody else and saying, I'll do this and you can forgive me. They'll never forgive you in a million years. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how merciful He is, said, pray 2 rak'ahs. I will forgive you for this feast. And use your body to the best of your ability. Abu Darda, the Sahabi of the Prophet والسلام, he mentioned that Awsani Habibi. Look at how he describes that the Prophet وسلم, directed me, gave me this wasiyah. My beloved gave me this wasiyah. What wasiyah did he give me? He directed me to observe just 3 things in my life in order for me to be successful. This is apart from the fara'id of our deen. He said, fast at least 3 days every single month. Mondays and Thursdays, or at least the 13th, 14th, and 15th. So a minimum, fast 3 days within a month. Perform 2 rak'at of duha every single day, and perform witr before you go to bed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will clean your slate of everything that you owe Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you, and you will enter into the gardens of paradise. Subhanallah. Look at this. Look at how beautiful our deen is. How beautiful our deen is, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes ways upon ways to forgive us. Now I just want to give a simple example. If everybody just copy me, take out both of your hands like this. All of you take your hands out like this, yes? Now imagine you did not have this joint here. These 2 joints, imagine you do not have that joint. How would you feed yourself? How would you do wudu? How would you wash yourself? How would you do ghusl? How would you do ruku? How would you do sajda? How would you comb your hair? How would you scratch your face? How would you do anything just without these 2 simple joints in your elbows? Now imagine what you would do without all of those joints in your spine, in your back, in your knees, in your leg, in your ankles, in your hands, in your feet, everywhere. What would you do without single joint? Subhanallah, look at how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, that we can't live or survive or function properly without just 2 simple joints in our hands. How could we ever function without all of the other things? And therefore, be grateful that every single day when you wake up, Allah has given you 360 functional joints that you can use to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. So thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the minimum that we can do, Ya Ro, my brothers, Ya Ikhwan, is to at least pray 2 rak'at of duha, which is 5 minutes of your time between 7 and 1 o'clock every day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be happy with you, and all of your karza will be maaf by Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to truly understand how much we are in debt, and for us to repay our debts whilst we are alive, and to follow the best of sunnah, the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Jazakumullahu khairan.